You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Protesters are marching outside of the house of Justice Amy Coney Barrett just one day after a man was arrested with a plan to kill Justice Kavanaugh. Yet House Democrats have pushed off a Supreme Court protection bill with Speaker Pelosi insisting the justices are safe.
The justices are, I think you saw the Attorney General even double down on that.
But this is about security for the justices. An armed man showed up near Justice Kavanaugh's house to try to...
We're working together on the bill that the Senate will be able to approve of. There will be a bill, but nobody is in danger over the weekend because of our not having a bill.
Nobody's in danger over the weekend because we didn't pass a bill to protect the judges. So says Nancy Pelosi. This is June 10th, 2022. We are live streaming on rumble.com right now. And over the next 2 hours, we're going to get into that issue of protecting the judges. Now, I want to take a moment to remind you right here, right now, the man arrested that had weapons, gun and knife and more and zip ties, and according to police, made it clear he was going to attack Judge Kavanaugh's house and kill Kavanaugh and maybe his family, because Kavanaugh is apparently one of those who are going to vote for the draft proposal that had been circulated as a final ruling from the court that could overturn Roe v. Wade. He was going to kill the judge because he didn't like the rulings. If it came down that way. Now, we can say that this is still an allegation. He was arrested with all this equipment and apparently confessed to doing what he was going to, what he planned to do. But we know for a fact that just last Friday, a Wisconsin judge was killed and executed in his own home because of a previous conviction he gave an inmate. And when the guy got out, he went out to the judge. And we also know back in 2020, a federal judge's son was killed as he opened the door for supposedly a delivery man, but it was an assassin looking to kill her and her family. He apparently had racial motivation. He killed the son, shot him right through the heart, and shot the father, but the mother, the judge herself, was not there. But Pelosi is just fine with everybody can go home. We don't need to work on any special bill right now. This is a bill that's already been approved by the Senate to increase security for Supreme Court justice families amid the disagreements of whether we should have protections to other employees of the high court. I'd say yes, provide them as you need them, right? And, of course, last night was exactly the circus show we expected. The House Select Committee appointed by Pelosi and Republicans to be represented, they wanted Jim Jordan and Banks on that. She refused to put them on the committee. She did take Liz Cheney, who's more of a rhino than a Republican, and gave her the co-chair of the committee. But the idea was, let's get everything out there to distract from what's happening going into 2020. And another opportunity to attack Donald Trump. And they scheduled it perfectly. Primetime TV. And all the major networks and cable companies lined up like dutiful little minions and carried it, except for Fox. Hannity had it on while he was talking over it. Same thing with Tucker Carlson. Now, there's some interesting things that came out of it, but it was all geared for Prime TV to, one, distract, and two, to show how big this thing is. There are a lot of shows that are not made for Prime TV. This was one of them. And Congressman Jordan is on the attack again on the fact that he was barred from that committee and that it was basically a rigged committee from the beginning. We'll get into all that. We'll get into protection for the judges. And then there's a proposal from a radio host that says it's going to be difficult to try to work our way around Second Amendment. Let's just get rid of the Second Amendment. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order. Thanks to everyone watching tonight for sharing part of your evening to learn the facts and causes of the events leading up to and including the violent attack on January 6, 2021. Police officers who held the line that day honored their oath. Many came out of that day bloodied and broken. They still bear those wounds, visible and invisible. They did their duty. They repelled the mob and ended the occupation of the Capitol. They defended the Constitution against domestic enemies so that Congress could return, uphold our own oath, and count your votes to ensure the transfer of power, just as we've done for hundreds of years. It was domestic enemies of the Constitution who stormed the Capitol and occupied the Capitol, who sought to thwart the will of the people to stop the transfer of power. And so they did. So at the encouragement of the President of the United States, the President of the United States trying to stop the transfer of power.
Of course, he's referring to Donald Trump at that point. That is Congressman Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi. He is the chair of this House Select Committee that Pelosi put together to investigate the January 6th riot, as they like to call it. All right, I'll allow that. But really, when they use the word insurrection, no, that was not an insurrection. There was only one gun found among any of those that were taken into custody. And it was not pulled out and waved at anyone at any point. Yes, there were battles with police on some fronts that should not have happened. And those who thought they were being patriotic by battling and hitting police officers, no, not patriotic. It's no longer your First Amendment right once you began to battle a police officer. There were others who walked in through unlocked doors at the Capitol. They didn't know what was going on. They got there and they just began to see the doors open, people going in. Okay, I guess we're going in. They didn't steal anything. They didn't assault anyone. They didn't defecate in the hallway, as someone apparently did. They didn't scatter graffiti in different places. They didn't steal stuff from Nancy Pelosi's office. Those who did all those things I just listed, yes. But what this is I told you the day it happened, will be not just a hammer, a big sledgehammer used repeatedly on any Republican, conservative, even if you didn't support Trump and you don't now, and if you thought it was wrong then. I thought it was wrong then. That day it was happening, I said on the air, this is wrong, it should stop. The president's got to make it clear, put an end to it now. So they promise they're going to be seeing a lot of pictures that haven't been seen before and testimony and things of this nature, and we'll get into all of some of that anyway. But let me go through something here with you. I want to remind you how this committee was put together. See, when you have a committee in like this, you really want to give each side recognition for their party. It's a divided committee in the sense that if you're going to have Republican committee, you're going to also have to allow Democrats to be on it. And the same is actually the way it should be played the other way, but not with Nancy Pelosi. Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, as Pelosi is putting that together, it's his job as leader of his party of the House to decide which members are going to serve on the committee. He wanted Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio and Jim Banks of Indiana. Nope, Pelosi didn't want them on. She said they're too partisan. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait, they're too partisan? What the hell is Nancy Pelosi, who's running the committee, and everybody she puts on? So they were not going to put those two Republicans on. They did decide we will have representation of one Republican, Congresswoman Liz Cheney of Wyoming, who had been a constant outspoken critic of President Trump. So she was one of Pelosi's eight choices to serve on the committee. All Democrats, except for Cheney, or should I rephrase that and say all of them, Democrat-leaning at least. So this way they can say, we have a bipartisan committee. We have a Republican on it. You have one, and you have one who's already also partisan, referenced Donald Trump in the past. But Pelosi would not allow Jim Jordan of Ohio nor Jim Banks of Indiana to be on there. Now, to that extent today, Jim Jordan is obviously, he'd always been livid, but he made his points again today after the primetime airing last night for those who bothered, had nothing better to do with their lives last night than sit and watch this testimony and some of the recounting, and some of it's pretty horrific when you hear it from some of the Capitol Guard officers. And, yeah, I might say even engaging. But is it really proving anything? Is it linking Donald Trump to it, which is what they're really trying to do? No. It's just being used, as I said, a large sledgehammer to constantly bang against anyone that might be associated with Trump in any way. So Jim Jordan today was saying the majority party gets more members on the committee. They get more witnesses. The minority party always gets a chance to bring in a witness to cross-examine the witness the majority brings in. He's talking about how things normally run. Except, he said, in this committee, this is worse than what Adam Schiff did. with the 2019 impeachment in the bunker, in the basement of the Capitol. At least we got to cross-examine the witnesses. That's not happening here. And it's just a production, selectively pulling out information that we had get no chance to see, presenting that to the American people in a completely partisan fashion. And again, it's not anywhere near fair. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, is right. And it began with how the committee was set up to begin with. And why? And then Liz Cheney, the one Republican that was allowed on, wanted to read something from Trump in her opening remarks to show that this is why we're here. The man to blame is Donald Trump. The mob at the Capitol was Donald Trump's making. The rioting was under the orders of Donald Trump. The insurrection was directed by Donald Trump. And then she read part of Trump's tweet, but only part of it.
Donald Trump tweeted, but he did not condemn the attack. Instead, he justified it. These are the things and events that happen, he said, when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who've been badly and unfairly treated for so long. As you will see in the hearings to come, President Trump believed his supporters at the Capitol, and I quote, were doing what they should be doing.
All right, that's Liz Cheney, Republican of Wyoming. I want to take you through that a little bit deeper because that's the way it's presented, and if you don't have any background information, you think, oh, my God, look how deep Trump was involved in this. She began by saying Donald Trump tweeted, but he did not condemn the attack. Instead, he justified it. Those are her words. Those are not in the tweet. That's her summary of it. What were the words that were in the tweet said, these are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who've been badly and unfairly treated for so long. And then she stopped reading Trump's tweet at that point. You know what the last part of Trump's tweet said? And I'm quoting from that tweet. Go home with love and in peace. Remember this day forever. And, of course, don't forget that Trump was holding a rally down the street for the Capitol. And he did tell them, go down, make your voices heard for the senators as they gather to count the votes for the Electoral College and declare a winner. He did not say go in there and attack and police officers. Did not say go in there and defecate in the halls of Congress, nor vandalize them, anything like that. Not one word. Believe me, if he had said it, they would have it and they'd be presenting it. But they don't have it because it doesn't exist. And another example of how they were trying to move things around so you don't really get a full picture. You see the shadow, and the shadow looks dark. It must be nasty. But then again, it's not so bad if you really understood it. Here's another example. Jason Miller, a former top Trump aide, tweeted during the hearing that the January 6th Select Committee omitted part of his testimony at the hearing. It played a clip of him during the hearing last night, a clip of him where he said Trump's lead internal data, or he is Trump's lead internal data expert, told the president, you're going to lose. He told him that. Miller said the committee omitted the next part of his testimony, which he explained that Trump pushed back against an analyst based on other things the analyst was not monitoring, which is fair enough. His lead internal data expert said, all the data says you're going to lose. Trump said, I don't think you took into fact this and this and this. And Jason Miller said they didn't even bother putting that in. And there's also a report the committee played a deceptively edited video of the Capitol riot that had dubbed Trump's voice describing the rally that took place before the attack on the riot. And the words that Trump was saying that were being played over the riot were ones in that he gave his crowd that had gathered to see him. And he said, the crowd was unbelievable. And I mentioned the word love, the love, the love in the air. I've never seen anything like it. But those words were played over the riot or, quote, insurrection. Even Rachel Maddow of MSNBC had to admit Trump did nothing to incite this. Listen.
Just the key point that, yes, there was a pro-Trump rally at which the president spoke, and we can absolutely talk about all the things the president said there. But the idea that that rally is the thing that got out of hand and that somehow resulted in the breaching of the Capitol, that rally was very far from the Capitol.
Yep.
And the people who, as you say, did the initial breach that allowed everybody else to come in, they never even went to that rally.
Ha! Can you believe Rachel Maddow would make that remark on MSNBC? Maybe her days are numbered, she thought. But she's right. And she said the people at that rally were one group. Those who were breaching the Capitol and attacking police at that same time, they never went to the Trump rally. They never went to the rally. Now, some of those at Trump's speech, when they left, they walked down the street to the Capitol and watched what was happening, and maybe they walked in. Or not. A lot of them turned around and just left. And then, of course, we have threats against U.S. Supreme Court justices. And Nancy Pelosi sends the House members home, not even taking up a Senate bill proposal for more protection for the justices. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think today actually is the perfect day to highlight the hypocrisy of Nancy Pelosi, of President Biden, and the others. They want to continue to hold hearings on January 6th, but they don't want to investigate the riots that took place in our cities. They don't want to investigate threats against American Supreme Court justices. It really just shows the height of hypocrisy and the double standard that we're talking about here. Nancy Pelosi has a full security detail. So does the president. So why our Supreme Court justices, when you know that they are receiving threats, to not protect them? And I'm saying all of them, the Democrat-appointed ones and the Republican-appointed ones. I think that's what a responsible Congress would do at this point.
That's what you think a responsible Congress would do. There is the issue. A responsible Congress. The House is controlled by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. The Senate is controlled by Chuck Schumer. And if there's a need to have a deciding vote in case of a tie, he's got VP Harris. So they control basically all three chambers. I should say all three levels of our government. The Oval Office, Executive Branch, the Congressional Branch. And, no, they don't control the judicial branch, but when it comes to Congress, yeah, they've got a grip on that, but they're not doing anything about it. As you were hearing, that was Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, New York Republican, about how they're not doing anything to look at all the riots we had that summer, and more will be coming this summer if the Roe v. Wade decision is overthrown and power given back to the states instead of it being the law of the land. And they are ignoring the increasing threats on judges, specifically Supreme Court justices, if they rule in favor of tossing Roe v. Wade as law of the land. They're not concerned about that. They want the January 6th. They want everybody to have it etched into their forehead. January 6th, Trump is responsible. Jonathan Turley, who's a law professor but also an analyst for Fox News, always trying to make sure you understand the source, he said it should be a truly bipartisan panel. This is not. And I just told you why. Liz Cheney is the only Republican on there. Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, was not allowed to appoint the members he wanted on there. Congressman Jordan and Congressman Banks. Pelosi said, no, they're too partisan, as if she's not, as if Cheney herself is not also partisan. And that's what Turley says. He said, that's one of the problems Democrats are going to have to confront now that most people have moved on. They got to condemnation stage 2 years ago, so they're trying, as the New York Times said, to reframe their argument for the midterm elections. The Times were referring to Democrats telling them that. The question is, will it work? So even with, like Pearl Harbor, with Watergate, with our wars during the Bush administration, it was all bipartisan. The fact that they were editing quotes for that presentation last night was quite glaring. This is not any type of true investigatory proceeding. It is not. Oh, it looked good on TV. They got a great big monitor back behind the members of the House sitting there showing all these pictures. They've got quotes of a Capitol Police officer by the name of Carolyn Edwards. Great, they wanted to bring a woman in. They did. She said it was carnage. It was chaos. There were footages of her being knocked unconscious by members of the, they call, according to CNN, Trump's mob. And I'm looking at CNN, the way they write about this thing. My God, I apparently just didn't get it. No, you're right, I didn't get it. All this was supposedly the product of months of investigations, interviews with witnesses, and the bottom line is nothing. Oh, except if you read the CNN column, it does say the unavoidable takeaway was how close America came to the destruction of the rule of law and extremist mob rule because of Donald Trump. Well, while you're considering that, what do you think about, let's just get rid of the Second Amendment. Stand by. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, and I do remind you we are live streaming right now at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. All one word. It'll take you to our page. You'll see previous rumbles we have posted, and you can push the one live, and you're in studio with us. Glad to have you join us. If you can't do it now, you can pull it up later and watch it. It's like watching me on TV again, but I get to say what I want to, and I'm better looking than I was. Well, maybe you need to fix your TV. I'm younger looking than I was. Then again, maybe it's your TV. Oh, by the way, you can also simply subscribe, and we will send this to you directly every day, absolutely free. And you can also subscribe and get our podcast. They are available at LarryConnorsUSA.com, a couple hours or less after we finish each day's program. You can get them at LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, and for that matter, anywhere where you get your podcasts, you get LarryConnorsUSA podcast. I appreciate you getting them if you missed any program and then sharing them with others. Getting some breaking news coming across right now. A North Carolina mall placed on a lockdown. There's been a shooting that left three people injured inside. This apparently taking place about noon Eastern time. That would have been around an hour plus ago. Now, it looks like, as the news is slowly began to come out, it took place at a East Ridge Mall in Gastonia. That's outside Charlotte. At least three have been taken to the hospital. Apparently no life-threatening wounds, and a suspect seen running into the woods. And, of course, we're still dealing with a tragedy of Uvalde in various ways. I mean, the funerals are over, but the grief is not going to go away. And then what are they going to do about the kids next year? Are they going to go back to that school, or will it in fact be torn down? President Biden's offered to use federal dollars, tear it down, and build a new one. It wouldn't be ready by next year. Probably be a couple years or so down the road. But, of course, the real push for the Democrats is the gun. The gun is responsible. Not the man who held the gun, either at that school or Sandy Hook, nor the shopping mall I just told you about, nor another one that took place in an assembly plant yesterday. It's always the gun, not the person. I'm looking at a piece written by Wayne Black for the Federalist. He said, after this school shooting in Texas, all parents in America should be asking their school boards and administrators, what are you doing to protect our children? I think that's a very good point. Go to your school board meeting and say, what are you doing to make sure our schools are safe when my child is there? And have them lay it out. Have them show you. Go to that school. Don't just ask. Go to the school. See what they're doing exactly. And he also writes that every sheriff, police chief should be moving immediately to make sure all schools in their jurisdictions are as safe as possible. He said, what if some of the trillions spent on COVID or that went to green causes or billions to Ukraine with no oversight went to protect children here at home in our schools? Well, I've been asking that question myself. I've asked you, do you think we should? I want to help the people of Ukraine, but I want to help our kids and our people first, and that begins with the kids and protecting them. There are still conflicting stories coming out about what the Uvalde police chief did or did not do that day as he was supposedly the commander on the scene. There was one quote I saw that he said that I knew there were still kids alive inside that room at the time, but we were trying to get kids out of the other rooms. That's why we didn't immediately go into that one. We're trying to get other kids safe. Then I saw another report that he said, I never told agents to stand down and block them from trying to get in as quick as possible. I don't know what the truth is. I'll be honest with you. There's stories here and there. Some out of his mouth even seem to contradict what he says. But I do want to share something else with you, and that is what happened in Alabama. This is something that went down, and you probably did not hear about this one because let me get this pulled up here in front of me. This was yesterday, I think it was actually yesterday. All the Democrats are talking about assault rifles and so forth. Well, at Walnut Park Elementary School in Alabama, I think it's Gadsden, Alabama, apparently a passerby saw a man aggressively trying to get into the school building, pulling on the doors. He tried several other doors. All of them were locked. He couldn't get in. So the witness did something. They called police. And then when the principal got word, they put the building definitely on lockdown. And the police officer doubled as a school resource officer, started looking for the guy and called for backup. Apparently everything worked correctly. The doors were locked. He did not get in. The resource police officer did engage the would-be invader who had illegally attempted to enter a marked police car so he could get the officer's rifle from the rack. More officers arrived. The would-be school attacker was shot and killed. And they say the school kids inside, for the most part, they were unaware all this was going on. Of course, when the word broke and the parents started hearing about it, I'm sure they kind of rushed in to find out what was happening, and I certainly understand that. But the debate over the school is one thing, and it really shouldn't be a debate. It should be clearly evident to all sides, do what we can to fortify the schools. and then follow the protocol. Don't just set them in place. Make sure you're carrying them out. Now, there's a liberal radio host by the name of Bill Press. And he cited former Chief Justice Warren Burger in 91, who told PBS, this is true, this is what Justice Burger wrote or told PBS in 1991, if I were writing the Bill of Rights now, there wouldn't be anything such as the Second Amendment. He would strike it from the Constitution. So this liberal radio host wrote an op-ed for CNN, NNN, and he wrote this. The only effective way to deal with the Second Amendment is to repeal it and then replace it with something that makes sense in a civilized society. There's no way to fix the Second Amendment. Let's just get rid of it. Deeper in his column, he said again, he said, you just have to read the Second Amendment, see what a fraud it's become. It's clear from the wording of the Second Amendment has nothing to do with individual gun ownership, nothing to do with self-defense, nothing to do with assault weapons. The amendment speaks not of the rights of well-armed individuals, citizens, but only in citizens as members of a group, a well-regulated militia. He added, the founders saw no need to mention guns in the original Constitution. The Second Amendment, he said, was added later by James Madison as part of a deal to secure the support of Patrick Henry, another white, as he writes, racist Virginians, for confirming the Constitution. And he then also cited an academic professor, there we go, there must be someone really intelligent, who said, quote, the amendment has nothing to do with self-defense or allowing ownership of any weapon. And this liberal radio host, Bill Press, said there's no way you can logically leap from the text of the Second Amendment to the unfettered right of any citizen to buy as many guns and any kind of gun they want without the government being able to do something about it. And he said, if you look at Ted Cruz, he's a gun worshiper. He said, we're condemned to more and more mass killings until we do the right thing. Stop arguing about the Second Amendment and just get rid of it. Just as simply as Nancy Pelosi tore up that night when Trump gave his first State of the Union, sat there behind him while everybody's applauding and ripping into pieces, just like that. Just like that. It's done. Don't touch that Second Amendment. And the other thing is, it's not the gun, it's the person. Keep that in mind. And then you've got an administration that is willing to let hordes of illegals into the country. Stand by. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, we see you here all the time. I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
President Biden is going to be talking about inflation and a stop at the Port of L.A. And apparently, in looking at some of his speech in advance, he is slamming some of the ocean carriers that bring goods and items from other countries, obviously, by water. and bring them into the port of L.A. A lot of those, of course, would be from China and other places as well. But according to the transcript that they've been kind of releasing, said one of the big reasons why prices are, this is Biden speaking, one of the big reasons prices are going up is the cost of shipping things across the Pacific in particular. Biden says during that phone call, that's what he adds up, he said there are only 9 major ocean line shipping companies who ship from Asia to the U.S., and they have raised their prices as much as 1,000%. Oh, my God, that does sound like price gouging, doesn't it? But how much have their fuel costs gone up? And labor cost. And how many ships are they running nowadays compared to the past days? And for Americans, they want to, again, Biden is always trying to put the blame somewhere else. So when I tell you that the prices now show that inflation had not peaked in March, as the Biden administration was telling you, it didn't peak in March, it didn't peak in April, and in fact in May, just completed, it's officially up 8.6%. 8.6% is where inflation is right now. We are now at a 41-year high for inflation. And Biden is out there banging on the hull of ships and saying, you guys are charging too much. Biden, by you being in office, let me put it this way, sir, we are being charged too much because you took an energy independent country like the U.S. of A. and turned it into a beggar going to Venezuela and maybe Saudi Arabia and saying, brother, can you spare a barrel or two? In the meantime, Biden is set to meet with a number of Western Hemisphere leaders and announce this you'll like, a new migration pact that will promote safe and orderly migration. He's going to have this meeting with them. He's going to call it the Los Angeles Declaration. He says it's going to be a groundbreaking, integrated new approach to managing migration and sharing responsibility across the hemisphere. When he says migration, he's talking about illegal immigration. But now we're going to find a way to do it in a more orderly fashion so it won't be so chaotic. The White House is offering 22,000 plus non-agricultural visas to Central America and Haiti to take 20,000 refugees from those countries. That's a threefold increase. Increased reunification programs for Cubans and Haitians. More money and funding via the State Department, U.S. Agency for International Development to bring some in. And Mexico will expand its migration programs and start a new temporary labor program. Guatemala, Ecuador, Belize, all making commitments part of this pact. But not one word in there says, don't come and try to cross our southern border illegally. This is another ruse, and it's lipstick on the pig. It's still that pig. They're just going to put lipstick on it and let you think that, well, now we're dealing with the, quote, chaos crisis at the border. But they didn't call it that, you understand. They will not use the C word with the border. Chaos, crisis, comedy. We have and are going to have more and more illegals. A massive caravan is headed at this time to our southern border, mainly made up of Haitians. And they say, we demand we get to come in because President Biden said we would get to. You're not even a citizen of this country. You don't make any demands. And I'll remind you again, Biden is losing more and more of the Latino vote. The Mexican-American vote, however you want to call it, those who are here legally are now been declared legal by some past asylum program. They don't want all these illegals continually coming across the border. It threatens them, their neighborhoods, their livelihood, their communities. But, of course, the Democrats are going to do what Democrats do, is either nothing or totally FUBAR, which in the Marines and many military units means messed up beyond all repair. That's a polite way of saying it. Second hour. You don't want to miss protecting judges. Or are we going to or not?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.